Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And welcome to the program here this morning. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
If you'd like to call in, 247-7282 to ask your tax question. So what do you have for us today?
All right, Ben, little update as far as the government shutdown and the IRS is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
The service did announce that tax filing season will open on Monday, January 28th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the date that the IRS will begin accepting both paper and electronic returns.
Right.
And that's the date they projected anyway.
Anyway, okay.
So no change as far as that goes. They are currently working on a comprehensive plan. We mentioned last time we went through some of the services that were going to be down during the shutdown. One of those we mentioned was tax refunds were not going to be issued.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the White House has asked that the IRS look at that issue again and has gotten an opinion from the Office of Management and Budget, and they have stated that they will in fact be issuing refunds during the government shutdown. So there should not be any lapse with regards to taxpayers who get their returns submitted, 28th or beyond, getting those refunds to
them.
So
some of these federal workers aren't maybe not getting paid and they're going to get their taxes and they might get a refund.
Yeah, that's right. And then not to mention some of the IRS workers who are currently furloughed are going to be recalled once we get this, once we get the
tax season open
running. So just, some interesting things and interesting developments there. Now, just for all of our listeners out there, the tax deadline remains the same as well. We're looking at an April 15th, 2019 deadline with regards to your 2018 taxes. That is not changed.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear that in mind. And as soon as we get more information on this, I will certainly keep you updated. But that's the kind of latest development with regards to the shutdown and concerns of the IRS.
Yeah, okay. All right, what else?
It's January.
Yeah.
Guess what? Filing forms are going to be heading your way, Ben. So we mentioned that this is the time where you're busy collecting your tax forms, your 1099s, your W-2s are in the mail, due by January 31st with regards to your 1099s. And just remember, when you get that copy of that 1099, the Internal Revenue Service gets a copy as well, and they play the matching game.
Mm-hmm.
So, the rule on 1099s is anyone who receives $600 or more during the year has to issue you a 1099.
Right.
The deadline's of January 31st, however, just bear in mind that a lot of times these forms end up coming your way in February, sometimes can be delayed as late as March or April. So I do strongly encourage our listeners to wait until they are sure that they have all of their 1099s. One simple way to do this is look at what you had on your return the previous year and your documents that you had received, and just do a little checklist and say, did I get this one? Did I get this one? Did I get this one? And if nothing's changed with regards to your tax portfolio, then you'll know that all of your forms are in, and you're free to go ahead and make that filing. If you're missing one, hold off and wait and make sure that one comes in prior to filing, because if you do in fact miss a 1099 or a W-2, then you're only going to have to go back and amend that return. And as we've said before, there are statistics that state that amended returns raise a little bit of the red flag with regards to audit rates. So it's best just to hold off and wait until you're sure that all of this information is accounted for.
Okay. Now, I think there may be some people that are not sure if they need to be issuing a 1099.
Yeah. So just, one of the big rules is that if you've paid out $600 more a year, there's lots of rules and regulations about whether or not you need to issue it out.
To someone
that you've hired.
Mm-hmm.
So just, again, if you're confused about those issues, if you've paid someone out over $600 this year and you're not quite sure whether or not you should issue the 1099, best thing to do is, because the rules are there's a lot of exceptions, contact me and let me know, and we'll go over it and we'll see whether or not you need to get that issued before January 31st. However, if you're on the receiving end, Ben, just, you know, bear in mind there's lots of different 1099s. You know,
right.
1099 INT for interest, 1099 DIV for dividends, 1099 G, which is local, state and local taxes, 1099 R for pensions and payouts for retirement accounts, 1099 B for brokerage accounts. Mm.
Yeah.
1099 miscellaneous, which a lot of people who are independent contractors, you know, are familiar with, because that's the one that says, here's, this is the income that we've paid you. Now you report it the way it needs to be reported,
right.
and
right.
take the necessary deductions that you need to take, but it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
And bear in mind that particular document, Ben, that 1099 miscellaneous can come with the employment taxes as well. You know, if you're a W-2 employee, the FICA, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security taxes are all paid 50% by the employer, 50% by you. But on the flip side, if you're an independent contractor, you're footing the whole bill, you know, which is
right.
about 13% or so with regards to those specific taxes. So just be mindful of those employment taxes as well. One of the interesting things is if you get an incorrect 1099, you know, what's the procedure as far mm-hmm. as working that out? Well, the first thing you need to do is contact the person who sent you that 1099 and explain to them that you believe there has been an error mm-hmm. that has been made and request that they file a corrected 1099 for your return. Now, in the event that they say no, we believe that is in, you know, we believe that that is a correct 1099, you still disagree with it. What are your options at that point in time?
Mm-hmm.
Your option is going to be to basically report what the individual, what the amount of the 1099 is, and then you'll need to attach a statement to your return explaining why you're backing out a portion of that.
Right.
So let me give you an example. This would be the easy one. Let's just say that you did work for an individual, and it was $30,000. They send you a 1099. It's $300,000. $1,000. They put an extra yeah. zero on there, yeah. and you're like, wait a minute here, this is crazy, you know.
Uh-huh.
You send it back to them, say, look, you know, I really only did $30,000. You just put an extra zero here. Can you fix this for me? Crickets. They don't do anything. You know, they just never respond to you. Don't, you know, say, no, don't worry about it. We're right.
Mm.
You then would need to report the $300,000 on your return and back out $270,000. And then attach an explanation as to why you are doing this. And basically, look, I got $30,000. You know, they put an extra zero on there.
Where do you
this
back
is why
it
we're
out?
Backing it out. You back it out on the deduction side.
Oh, okay.
You would need to just explain to them that this is why you're doing it.
Yeah, lots of red flags and bells and whistles go off then, don't
that's
they?
Right. So, you know, the important thing is if you're going to make that type of correction, you just need to make sure you're 100% correct in the number that you're putting on there.
Right.
And that'll likely involve you doing a detailed analysis of your bank statements and seeing, you know, when did they pay you, how much mm-hmm. did they pay you, and make sure that the number that you ultimately end up with is correct.
I know that's a pretty ridiculous kind of example, perhaps, yeah. of adding that much, but you could have $1,000 off. And,
that's
yeah.
right. And hopefully, Ben, in the example that I gave you, that would be one of those errors where the person who issued the 1099 would clearly see that they
yeah.
just added a zero. But that's the kind of example where if they won't fix it, you've got to fix it. You've got to explain. And as long as you know you can prove, you're going to be okay. But, yeah, it's probably going to be a process with the IRS to work that one out. On the flip side, if it is a W-2 that is incorrect, Ben, the first thing you would do is go back to your employer just as a 1099 issuer and say, listen, you know, there's been a mistake that's been made. Please go ahead and correct the W-2. Here's what I actually did receive.
Right.
And the employer likely would make the correction. However, if they refuse to do so and you have not had a resolution before February, you can actually contact the IRS on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you would tell the IRS that there's been an incorrect W-2 that's been issued. They will then actually send a letter to the employer, and the employer will have to, you know, be held to account with regards to what's on that particular form. The IRS will also send you form 4852, which is a substitute for W-2 form. And on that particular form is where you would actually fill in the correct information that you believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And this form does require you to put some supporting documentation behind it, pay stubs, anything like that. So, and then you would submit that form and report that amount on your actual return, the mm-hmm. substitute W-2 amount. So a little bit different between how you would correct an error, whether it's a 1099 mm-hmm. versus a W-2. But those are your options if you do end up in a boat, heaven forbid, that is incorrect. And why is this so important? I mean, we get back to what we started with, which is you get a copy of the tax form.
Right, right.
The IRS gets a copy of the tax form.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not match, the computer will send out a CP2000, which is what we've talked about as a computer generated audit, and say there is a problem here. We need to figure out what the correct amount is.
And
especially, like I said, if the forms that you see are showing more income, you're definitely going to get it, because mm-hmm. they're going to think that the service is owed additional taxes. So just be prepared for that. And, you know, if you do get it, hopefully you get your form early and you can go ahead and start to work those issues out. And if you have a problem, of course, you know, again, contact me at Harbell and Collins, and we will work out these types of issues for you.
Looking at your pay stub, you know, if you might have one that has how much you got paid for the year, you know, the last one you got for the year.
Yes.
But your pay period may jump over a calendar date or something like that. So it could be different. I mean, it might be prorated, right?
That's
different.
Right, yeah. And just remember, cash method taxpayers are what we are, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, if you receive that check prior to, you're going to be looking at reporting that for 2018.
Okay.
So just whatever that amount would be.
Okay. All right. If you want to find out more, again, you can contact Andrew A. Foster at HarvellandCollins.com. You can go online at HarvellandCollins.com and listen to past shows as well. And you can also use the website there to find out more information about contacting them for that appointment at HarvellandCollins.com.